turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me
many, many times, many times, the book of Job has ministered to me. Many times. I'm going to read a kind of lengthy portion of scripture. That's why I wanted you to sit down. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to take a little time, if that's okay. Job said in the 5th chapter, he says, call now if there be any that will answer thee. And to which of the saints wilt thou turn? Sometimes we got to look in the right places to get the right answer. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, and suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth, and taketh even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble, and his sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, unsearchable, marvelous things, without number. Nobody believes me. Does anybody believe that? You can say, oh, I'm not going to preach, but you can say amen. It makes me feel like you believe me and agree with God's word. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields to set up on high. I don't like being low. I like being high. But not on the things the world gets high on. To set on high those that are low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. Skipping down a few verses, says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and he bindeth up the woundeth. And his hands make whole. Has anybody ever had their prayers answered? Said, anybody ever had your life changed? Well, there's one witness. Ever experienced a healing? Have you ever needed the Lord's comfort? Ever been picked up when you were low? Song Christy and I heard this morning on the way to church. Music is just as vital to the kingdom and the house. Preaching. Don't ever forget that. Your ministry is vital. We need God. This house, my house, your house, daily. I'm going to make a confession. Every morning, life gets up. Said something they want. He says, Al, you got slivers in your britches. I thought, I gotta go to Goodwill and get rid of those old britches, those slivers. This morning, I thought, those britches got slivers because I was in the house of God for 37 years. I'll never get rid of these. Sitting in the pew for the last 25. Slippers in your britches are good things. I could have a lot worse things in my life than slivers in my pants from going to the house of God. I don't know why I'm saying all this morning, but we need God to visit this house. And not when the world just says, well, there's nothing better to do. Just go to church today because it's rainy, it's crummy outside. Might as well go to church. That's the wrong attitude. There's a whole lot of things that I would love to do. I'd love to go through Colorado and walk around Colorado for a month and just disappear, commune with God.
Father of the world,
Yeah.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are thinking of me, that you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. You hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend. Thank you.
It's red, but it's working. Hallelujah. I do want to say a sincere thank you to all those that helped make the Family Freedom Fireworks Church Picnic last Sunday. Thank you so much for all the hands that helped, from patting the meat to cooking the meat to putting all the food together to putting up tents and volleyball nets and bags and everything that went in. Thank you so much. Why don't you give yourselves a hand for all your hard work? Tables, chairs, tablecloths, everything. Many hands make light work. Thank you, Brother and Sister Davis, for allowing us to have it at your residence once again. What a wonderful property to have it. Thank you. Thank you so much. I do want to remind you tonight, Revival by Design, beginning here at 6 o'clock. And if you sign up for your refreshments, please make a mental note so that there's something for us to nibble on in between sessions. Before we get into the Word of the Lord, I do want to take an opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. I know that there are probably numerous needs here in the house, but special requests for the Cooper and Jeter families. Tragic death of a four-year-old boy. We don't know the details. They are, I think, living in Tennessee now. Is that correct? They're originally from the church there in Aurora. And so let's take a few moments and cry out on behalf of the Cooper and the Jeter family. If there's other needs in the house, why don't you just slip up your hand? And the Lord knows those needs. As we go to prayer, if you need to be anointed and prayed for, we give you the opportunity to come forward. The ministry of this church will anoint and pray for you. But can we go to the Lord right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, I can't possibly understand the feeling, God, the emotions that are dealing with. God, this Cooper and Jeter family are dealing with right now, the loss of this four-year-old boy, Lord. But we know that you have a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart and their life, God. Give them comfort. Help them as they grieve the loss, God, as a loved one, Lord. For others here in the house, God, with the needs signified by the upraised hand, Lord, you know what we have needed before we ask or even think. You know the details of every one of our lives. We ask you, Lord, to help us, God. Use us to speak words of life and encouragement, strength to others, God. Let us stretch forth our hands to heal, God. Your power and your authority for those that are coming forward right now. Brother, why don't you gather together? Why don't you come forward? Let's lay hands on the Kreger family right now and pray for them, God.
cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems helpless. Cover me when my faith is gone. And the peace that passes all I understand. Cover me.
Presence of the Lord in this place. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. Hallelujah. Let's not hold anything back. Let's cry out unto God. How we need you, Jesus. How we need you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. you have your Bibles, open them to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 1, begin reading in verse number 5. I will hasten to read down through verse number 19. Now some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He, being Jesus, said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be? What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" He said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ.' The time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. When ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." And he said to them, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up into synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." In your patience possess ye your souls. Things are going to happen. You're going to see signs. There's going to be all this stuff. Many are going to come and say, "I'm Christ. The end is near." Don't follow after them. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, but the end is not yet by and by. Things are going to happen. Brought before rulers and kings, be hated of all men for my name's sake, but in your patience possess ye your souls. Help the Lord on to preach upon this subject. Possess with patience. Possess with patience. Lord Jesus, we love you. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for the beautiful presence that we feel here in this place, God, for hearts touched. God, I thank you, Lord, for those who have been receptive to your word thus far, Lord. I pray that once again we would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, Lord, that we would understand the importance of being patient, Lord, that we are able to possess things, God, by exercising patience, Lord, exemplifying the virtue in our lives. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor in your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Possess with patience. In our rush world, patience is a virtue much depleted. It seems as though many live by the motto, "I want it all and I want it now." Achieve, acquire, ascend the ladder of success. What previous generation didn't have until their 60s, this generation wants in their 30s. Moreover, as we look at life and we see people, and it's almost as if it's a move over, get out of the way. I am pursuing something. I am impatient in my pursuit of things. This last week as I was in Florida, I don't know if it's because of 5 years living up here near Chicagoland, or if it's just people down there have no place to go anywhere fast. But
And I thought to myself as I got behind and was running to and from the hardware store trying to get stuff, trying to get this done and that done. And I thought to myself, does anybody want to get anywhere anytime soon? I thought, man, I wish these people would drive faster. And this as if little voice says, well, maybe you should just exercise more patience. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but it happens to me. I thought to myself, yeah, patience is something that when I'm pressed for time and I'm trying to get things done, I don't often exercise. And what I find in my natural life, sometimes I find in my spiritual life. Looked it up, 49 times a form of the word patience. Patient, patiently, patience is used in the Bible. 46 of those times it's used in the New Testament. Furthermore, its use increases as you near the end of the New Testament, almost as if more patience is needed the closer we approach the end. This understanding is shown in the passage of our text here. Jesus is speaking about the end, but as he nears the end of his foretelling of events that will unfold, he offers these words of encouragement: in your patience, possess ye your souls. You see these things happen, don't let them cause you to hasten. Don't get in a hurry. As I look at society and I see things happen all around me, I have to remind myself, Nate, don't get impatient. Exercise some patience. Oh yes, look up with expectation, for your redemption draweth nigh, but be patient until it comes to pass. Don't get frustrated. Don't get anxious. Don't always worry. I grew up in a time where, this is going to date me a little bit, but we still had LPs. Anybody remember those? So remember now and then? We had this record player at the house, and as a kid, that was my form of entertainment along with books, and I had this collection of LPs that my mom had gotten for me, and they were kids, and one was Nathaniel the Grublet, and another one was The Music Machine, and The Music Machine had all these little songs, and even now to this day, my kids will become impatient about something. They'll, Daddy, 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 and they'll, when are we going to this? When's it going? When are we going to get there? When's that going to happen? And I, much to their annoyance, will break out with the song.
Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the other times when others have to wait. I got it wrong for you.
Have patience. But we're in such a hurry. We want to get there. We are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, and we want things to come to pass. And I numerous times, been in conversation with my mom. I call her on a weekly basis, and here over the last few weeks, there's something that she said on a reoccurring basis. Well, I'm just ready for the Lord to come back. I think, well, I'm ready for the Lord to come back too, but I got to occupy until he comes. And that occupying includes being patient, because his timing is perfect, and whether I'd be okay with him coming right now, me making heaven my home and living for, until he comes, until that time comes, I got to be patient. Paul wrote the church at Rome in Romans 15:4. He said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When I read the Bible, it does cause me to have some more patience and realize that God's still got it all in his hands, and he knows how it's all going to unfold, and he knows the end from the beginning, and whether he's coming back in this decade or whether he's coming back tomorrow or whether he's coming back 1,000 years from, I don't know all that, and I don't need to know all that, but what I do need is some patience in my life. What I do need is just to believe. Paul also writes a church at Rome in Romans 8, 24 and 25, for we are saved by hope. But what hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if
But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. My kids hate when I tell them I have a surprise for them and then I make them wait. Come on, Dad. A few weeks ago, we were going to someplace special, and I bought the tickets and had everything together. I said, guys, this is like a Monday. I said, we're going someplace special Friday. And every day, Dad, can you tell us? Nope. Not till the day. I can't tell. Oh, come on, Dad. No, it'll ruin the surprise. It's so good. You got to be patient. You got to wait for it. And I wonder if maybe that's kind of what the Lord is trying to get us to understand. It's going to be so awesome, and it's going to be so good, and the surprise is going to be so great, but you got to be patient. You got to wait for it. I know it. You got to have some hope, and you got to have some faith, and you got to believe. The Bible says, for we are saved by hope. We keep believing, we keep hoping that one of these days. Oh, Sister Day, she's read it numerous times. One of her favorite passages of Scripture is Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But if you read that word there that says be careful, it's actually the word anxious. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't get impatient. Don't worry and fret. Don't get upset about it. It's still all in His time, and He's still got it all in His hands. Be anxious for nothing. It'll work out. God will bring it to pass. You just have to be patient. You just have to let patience, as the Bible says, have her perfect work. Jesus, in talking with those in His hearing on that day, he makes a statement that kind of on the surface it seems contradictory, because He tells them that their kindred and their family will be, they shall cause them to be put to death, and you're going to be hated for all men for My name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Did you get that? You're going to be caused by your kindred and your family to be put to death, but not a hair of your head shall perish. Come again. Put to death, hair of my head shall. See, you need to understand that the Bible is very clear. There's a difference between natural death and perishing. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's an understanding that while even though there may be a natural death, you're not going to perish. You need to understand that in patience, if you possess your soul, you need to understand, like Job said, though skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. There's a patience that comes over me, an understanding that it's all going to work out in His time, and He's all going to bring it together, and I've just got to be patient while He works out His will. I've got to believe and trust in Him that He knows exactly what He's doing. You see, on the flip side of this then is, if not one hair of my head shall perish, if in your patience you possess your souls, then that would mean that impatience would cause me to perish. How true. How many have given up or conceded the fight because of impatience? They thought this was going to come to pass in a certain amount of time, but it didn't happen. They thought how many have messed up and made mistakes because of their impatience. Oh, one shining example of someone who in his impatience decided that he would work things out on his own, and he, with his wife, Sarah, said, well, I know God promised me a seed, but maybe we should do this through Hagar. And his impatience in that sense, though he later on was told that he, through patience, he did. He did wait after that. He did understand that it was going to be in God, even though he considered his own body dead. Even though he believed God would bring it to pass, he had patience. Is that not us? Sometimes we're impatient. Sometimes we want to do things on our own. Sometimes you want to help God out. Sometimes you say, okay, God, you made this promise in my life. This prophecy was there, but it hasn't happened yet. So what do I need to do to help you? How can I help you, God? How can I help you bring this to pass? No, we need to understand, in your patience possess ye your souls. It will possess the promises. We'll get what God's got coming to us. But we just got to be patient. We just got to be still and know that He is God. And understand that if He promised it, if it's been prophesied and it's of God, it's going to come to pass. See, even in the parable of the sower, talked about the seed that was cast upon good ground. Luke 8:15. But that on good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. How the word settles in my heart and brings forth good fruit is with patience. A pastor preached this years ago, or somebody said this years ago, and it hasn't happened. Well, just be patient. Good heart. It'll come to pass. Just possess it with patience. Don't get impatient, because if you get impatient, you'll lose it. Patience. In your patience, possess ye your souls. The recipe for showing the love of God, according to Romans 5, includes patience. And not only so, Romans 5:3-5, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There in that recipe for shedding abroad the love of God, there in being able to display and show the love of God in a world with much anxiety and stress and wonder and worry about what's going to happen, you and I can shed the love of God. You and I can be light in darkness by exuding patience in our life, by showing others that we are patient. It is in the recipe for showing the love of God. The writer of Hebrews encourages us in Hebrews 10:35-38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, I'm doing my level best to do the will of God. Well, don't be weary in well doing. Just keep doing so. You just have need of a little more patience. You'll receive the promise. It will come to pass. You'll possess it with patience. Patience. Some of y'all want me to hurry to a conclusion. Be patient. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Catch this. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What are you saying, Lord? I don't find pleasure in impatient people. I find people that believe. People who aren't filled with worry and angst and wonder. They just believe somehow, some way God's going to make it happen. And with patience, I'll possess the promise. With patience, it will happen for me. With patience, I'll see it. The Bible also lets us know that this race that we run, it's not a sprint. It's not a mad dash. It's a marathon. But it's one. It's a race of perseverance that we must run with patience. So I learn patience. I learn to persevere. I learn to keep plodding on. I learn. It's not going to happen. I don't always see the finish line right away, but I keep running. But I keep pressing toward the mark. I know it's there somewhere ahead. I know. I just keep running. I don't detour. I don't turn to the right or to the left. I just keep going because I believe and I run with patience. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Patient. Pastor, it hasn't happened yet. I know. Be patient. This is prophesied over me, but it hasn't come to pass. And I see time slipping away, and I wonder if it's going to be patient. Let Him work His will. Don't be anxious. Don't hasten. Don't hurry. In your patience, possess
ye your souls. James, the writer of the book that bears his name, starts out like this. After he introduces himself in verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Yeah, but James, that ain't fun. I know. Tries my faith. I see doubt creeping in. Well, it's tough. Yeah, but you need to understand. You need to learn to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That patience is trying to work in you. And the reason why you're dealing with all this and the reason why you're going through all this is that God must think you're pretty special. And that you can handle it. And that He can depend upon you to be patient. That He can trust you with what He's placed in your hands. And that you will possess it with patience. Knowing this, the trying of your faith work is patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I read that. I realize it there in that passage of Scripture. Patience is described in the feminine. Let patience have her perfect work. You are around our house, you would see why this is. Because in the masculine, I'm not always so patient. Ah, now, get it, make it, fix it, make it happen. Come on. Kids, now, go. Yeah, yeah. The wife is a little more laid back. All right. Give him a moment. Just give him a minute. Can't you just be patient. Numerous times, and my wife has had to look at me and said, "Would you just be patient?" Oh, none of you men have had to deal with that, huh? Just be patient. And I wonder if maybe that's why the Bible ascribes the feminine to patience. Let patience have her perfect work. It's more gentle. Just be. It's more nurturing. Let patience. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that the women are the nurturing ones. That are over the household, because and men, we as a boy start, we want a man, move them right into adolescence. Come on, get a job. You're 12, you should be paying rent now. I don't know, I'm being somewhat humorous, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire. Don't sometimes we hasten stuff, and sometimes we try to push stuff along when it's not ready. You can't hasten. You can't reach in there and because you want that butterfly to spring forth from the cocoon. You can't get down there and start cutting that cocoon open, because what you'll do is you'll stymie the development of that butterfly, and the wings will never develop, because they're developed by pressing on the cocoon, and eventually in time the cocoon will come open, and the metamorphosis will happen, and there will be a butterfly. But don't hasten the process. Let it happen. Let God do things in His time. It's only under His hand does the caterpillar become the beautiful butterfly. So why do we think He needs our involvement? He just often needs us to be patient. Then I was astounded, because not only does James begin with patience, if you look at James 5, he ends with patience. James 5, 7 and 8, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Lord, when you say that not stone's going to be left upon another, when are these things going to happen? What sign is going to show us and tell us these things are going to be? And then the Lord says, "Wait." Can I paraphrase? Hold your horses. Simmer down now. Bring it down a notch. These things are going to happen, and these things are going to happen, and all this is going to... But
Don't follow them. There's going to some say that they are Christ. Follow them. Time is near. Don't follow them. Other things are going to happen. Nations shall rise. All these things are going to happen. But in patience possess ye your souls. I don't know if he's coming tonight, tomorrow, or 1,000 years from now. But blessed is that servant when the Son of Man cometh shall so find doing. I'm looking up. I have with expectation. I'm looking for that blessed hope. But guess what? Until it comes, until it happens, I in patience am going to possess what God has for me. And every day is going to be another opportunity to be patient on the Lord. Allow him to work his will in my life. And let patience have her perfect work, that I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. You've been so patient. According to what I read in the Word of God, patience will produce good fruit in your life and shed abroad the love of God. Patience will have you possessing the promises of God. Patience, according to His Word, will keep you running the race. And patience will establish your heart unto the coming of the Lord. Pastor, I've been waiting for so long for this to come to pass. Why give up now? I've been waiting for so long. I've become discouraged. But let me just offer this little... And I know it doesn't seem all that significant. Apostle Paul said, but now are we closer. Now is the day of salvation closer than when we first believed. I don't know what I'll see. I don't know how long. I don't know if my kids will have grandkids. I don't know. But I hope the help of God to apply more patience in my life. Not to be in such a hurry. It'll work out. His promises are true. Just be patient. Don't hasten. Don't try to move things along and get them out of sync with God. Stay in His timing. His timing's perfect. He knows. Patience, possess ye your souls. Lord, I pray, help us. I know, God, we're so result-driven and oriented people. We want to see stuff all the time. We live in a society that's constantly pushing and prodding. An impatient world. Help us to be patient in you. Souls, you'll find that not an hair of your head shall perish. Child of God, have patience. Possess the promises of God with patience.
someone here this morning. In your patience, possessing your souls. Don't let me become impatient, God, and hasten to take something out of your timing. Lord, help me to impatience possess.
On the Lord, I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting.
Lord, help us to be patient. What you have for me is in your time, God. Help me with patience to wait for you. To serve you, God, with expectation and hope. Hallelujah. All over this house, can we lift our hands and lift the voice? Help us, Lord, to be people of patience.
It's all my waiting. It's all my waiting on the Lord. It's all my waiting. It's all my waiting. It's all my waiting.
Bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Remember, Revival by Design training beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. God bless you. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.